It's gadget time. Let's talk tech stuff and so much more with the gadget detective himself, Fevzi Turkalp, who always joins us at this time of the week. Morning, Fevzi.
Good afternoon.
I suppose it is, yes, if you want to be pernickety about it. It's a good start, isn't it? That's quite all right. If you'd like to ask Fevzi a question, let's start all over again. Yeah, morning, Fevzi. If you'd like to ask him a question, give us a call 0808 100 5100, or you can drop us a text to 81333 starting with Barks. Let's do the really serious stuff first of all, the old coronavirus. England and Wales contact tracing app. Where are we at with this? And I'm very confused as to whether we're going to have a world-class system or it's never going to work at all or whatever. I'm hoping you can sort of sort it out for us.
Yeah, and it gets variously described as being the icing on the cake or a game changer, depending on whether it's happening or not.
Yeah.
So where we are is on the 24th of September, the government has announced that it will, on that date, launch the app in England and Wales. The Scottish app has already launched. This is an app that you will be asked to download onto your smartphone that will detect when you have been in close proximity to someone who later is found to have a COVID-19 infection.
Right.
It will also allow you to scan QR codes. And QR codes, you may have seen them, they're like barcodes. They're those square codes with dots on all over them.
Yeah, every time I go into a coffee shop, I have to get my phone out, don't I? Put the camera on and do the business. Yeah.
So the idea is that instead of them having to get a book out and take your details, that you just scan the code and then they know you've been there. Now, few interesting things about this app. First of all, the underlying technology is the one that the government originally rejected. It's the Apple-Google partnership technology that allows contact tracing but doesn't allow the government to hold information centrally about who you are and where you've been. We only know that the owner of that phone has been in proximity to someone who is believed to have COVID-19. That's number one. Number two is these systems work well when there is testing available, and we've seen now that people are being, in some cases, being told to travel more than 75 miles for a test, and in many cases that they're logging on and being told no test is available. Hmm. Now, you know, obviously the downsides of that are that you can't know for sure that someone's got COVID-19, so you get false positives and false negatives. People may get locked down unnecessarily or may not be locked down when they should do. Children cannot go to school because they have not had the test yet, they have symptoms, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So this only really works when they sort their testing out, but still, it's a step in the right direction, and it does have the underlying privacy, and I think on balance, I would encourage people to use the app.
And it's not only, if I've understood this correctly, it's not only that the app must work well, controlling the coronavirus is all about maths, it's all about numbers. And if not enough people download it and use it, it can be the best scheme that man's ever designed, and it'll do us no good at all.
Yeah, it's like a vaccination program, Bill, is exactly right what you're saying. If you don't get a certain uptake, a certain number of people install it. And bear in mind, not everyone has a smartphone as well, those people are out straight away. So the rest of us really need to use it, you know, because as you say, if not enough people use it, doesn't work. It's like vaccinations. If you only vaccinate 20% of a population, it's not going to work. You have to get towards 100% for it to be truly effective.
So the more people, I mean, do you know if there's a number over which it does definitely become a wonderful thing and under which it's probably not worth bothering with?
Well, I haven't seen that, but I wouldn't say to anyone it's not worth bothering with. I would say do your bit.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
And trust that other people will. I don't think we should try and make that determination. I do know in Scotland more than 10% of the population has already downloaded the app, which is, you know, a reasonable start. I think if the government had been a bit more straightforward about how, because you know they had the failed attempt and they tried to use their own, they tried to use their own technology, and there was a lot of privacy concerns about that because it actually meant the government would hold information on where citizenry went, who they were and where they went and who they consorted with, and that was a bit, you know, bit near the knuckle for some people. Mm-hmm. But this system doesn't do that. It allows for a degree of privacy, and arguably it's one of the reasons why the government didn't want it.
Yeah. Absolutely, the last thing I want to do is talk it down and say to people, don't bother. But it is absolutely crucial that we get a lot of us get on board, isn't it? Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah.
All right, on to first gadget of the week then, and it's the Soundcore Icon Plus Portable Submersible Bluetooth Speaker.
Yeah. So from Soundcore, Icon Plus, like a plus symbol at the end of it, not to be confused with the Icon, which is smaller, which is nice, but this one is best of breed. There are thousands of Bluetooth speakers, okay, out there, and how does one choose one of the best? Well, this one I chose because of the sound quality. It's a 20 watts battery powered portable rechargeable speaker. It's kind of looks like a bit of a long torpedo shape, if you know what I mean. It's not that you should submerge it, you know, but it does survive. I actually dropped one into a bath of water deliberately whilst it was switched on, and it carried on. You could actually, you'd have to stick your head under the water to actually hear it.
But that could be fun.
I foresee people
misusing this deliberately for fun.
Well, do you know what? I did see a warning saying that people shouldn't listen to it underwater without breathing apparatus, and I don't know if they were being serious or not. For those that know about these things, it's IP67, which means it has a good degree of protection from water and dust and shockproofing as well. So it's really quite clever. It's an amazing amount of bass that comes out of this machine for its size. I mean, just to give you an idea, it's under 700 grams and it's 23 centimeters long, which, let me just get my tape measure out. That's about 9 inches. So it's quite a small long device. Sells for £80. I would say to you, it's worth the £80, but I've noticed that the price fluctuates quite a lot, and occasionally it goes down to significantly lower than that. So, you know, if 80 is a bit steep for you. Another nice trick it has is if you buy a second one, or if you have a friend who has a second one, you can actually pair them together and then they become a stereo pair from one phone. So one phone then pairs to two. But this, to give you an idea of how loud this is, it will easily, you know, fill your garden. I mean, you can put it out in the garden and you will have happy music in your garden. Your neighbours, you know,
very
may
unhappy,
not be happy.
Yes.
But also there's and I mentioned bass and all that, not everyone wants, you know, heavy bass and stuff. There's an app that comes with it, the Soundcore app, and it's got a graphic equalizer on it, so you can just boost the bass or treble or do whatever you want to it to tweak it to your own personal taste.
Very good.
And it gives, I think it gives about 12 hours on a single charge as well, which is again pretty good. It's a modern device. It connects via USB-C, which is a new type of USB. So its type, 4 stars out of 5, sound quality, modern Bluetooth, submersible, don't do it. a lot of fun, I have to say. It's a lot of fun. Choice of colours as well.
Whatever happened to quadrophony? I can remember buying my hi-fi system, and the important thing was, is this quadrophony compatible? I asked the man, because, you know, I would probably be trading up. So, oh yes, don't worry, sir, all our new models are ready for quadrophonic sound. Yes. Never happened, yes. Did it? Never
well,
happened.
We had the film, didn't we? Quadrophenia, but that was about
that we
it.
Did. That was it.
That wasn't, I think, the soundtrack was.
No,
just
I don't think it was. I don't think it was in quadrophony at all. No. I never bought those extra speakers, and I've survived. There we are. Some things take off and some don't. We'll do another gadget of the week, and we've got a couple of questions for you as well, Fevzy. It's BBC Radio Berkshire playing Keith Urban and Superman, and it's Bill Buckley chatting to the gadget detective Fevzy Turkalp. Just before we get on to your questions, it's gadget of the week number 2, and this is such a great long name with so many numbers and slashes and letters in, I'm not quite sure how much of it I'm supposed to say, Fevzy, so I think you better reduce it instead.
I'll dive in. Yeah. We'll call it, it's from Crucial, is the brand, and it's the X6 portable SSD, and the rest of the numbers we can leave for when you look it up online.
Right.
So it's a Crucial X6 portable SSD. So let me explain. This is a data storage device. SSD means solid state drive, and that means no moving parts. So, you know, we've traditionally had hard disk drives inside our computers and so forth, but this has no moving parts, and yet it is highly capacious. So imagine a device that's about 2.5 inches square, about a third of an inch thick, and weighs less than 1.5 ounces. Mm-hmm. Now, when I tell you that device holds 1 or 2 terabytes, depending on the model you buy. Now, you know, what does 1 or 2 terabytes mean? 1 terabyte would hold about 250,000 high quality photos, over 250 feature films in full high definition, 6.5 million pages of a document, you know, in other words, a library in something that fits easily in a shirt pocket. Probably you could fit five of them in your shirt pocket easily. It weighs less than 1.5 ounces.
What an extraordinary
grams.
World we now live in, don't you think? Yeah. Does it even amaze someone like you who's immersed in it as much as it does somebody like me?
I love it because when I get one of these, I work out, you know, how many libraries can I now fit in my shirt pocket? Yeah. What can I... And it does. And what I particularly like about this one, other than the fact it's solid state, and it means, by the way, that means it's very fast as well as no moving parts. It means it's very reliable when you drop it. It doesn't break because, you know, drives in the past with the moving parts, you drop them, they were more or less dead. Yeah. It works with Windows PCs. It works with Mac. It works with Android smartphones and tablets as well. We're going to look at this again in a future week because I've got one very special use for this, but I won't divulge that now, but it's an amazing device. So instead of having to carry, you know, even a laptop from place to place, you can just carry all your data around with you and just plug it in. It uses USB-C, which, as I mentioned before, is that sort of new style of USB connector. But if you've got an older style device, you just get an adapter or an appropriate cable and it'll plug into a conventional USB socket. It is blindingly fast. You'll be shocked, you know. I mean, it's faster than the drive that is in the vast majority of computers now. It can be used because of its capacity. It can also be used as a backup device. And I deal every day, just about every day, with people who have, you know, the hard disk in their computer has died. Yeah. And then they realise that there's that script that they've been working on for 6 years
Can't
on there
get it
that
out.
They haven't backed
no.
up. Or pictures of loved ones who've passed away and, you know, all sorts of things there. And we generate so much data, you know, on our smartphones. We're not back. We may back up our smartphones onto our laptop, but then we don't necessarily back up our laptop. This device is not only a backup device, but it's got the capacity to do that as well as have your regular data on it as well.
Amazing.
You could put it on a keyring. I wouldn't say that's ideal, but just to give you an idea, it'll
genuinely
go on a keyring.
It does. That does amaze me, really. And how much is this going to cost me?
So that's a good question. I just lost it. I think it's about £140 for the one terabyte. Let's just have a look. I'll tell you exactly. £141.95 at the moment for 1 terabyte, and it's shade under £260 for 2 terabytes.
Right.
But I think 1 terabyte is sufficient for most uses.
Which is cheap if you think about losing an entire novel that you've spent 5 years writing, really, isn't it?
It's just the sort of thing that it's got so many different uses, you know. And you can attach it to different devices, and being able to attach it to directly to a mobile device, for example, and to back up your mobile or have your music, your entire music collection. Or just imagine, you go on a break, you've got, you know, kids in the car who want to watch movies. You can only load one or two movies onto a tablet. Just imagine 250 movies. That's a complete sort of blockbuster shop worth of movies on this small device. Just plug it in and away you go.
No more dad, are we there yet? Absolutely. A couple of quick questions. It was all of us. Mary in Winnersh, what's the difference between free and paid versions of Zoom?
Okay, that's a very good question. It used to be that you had to pay for Zoom in order to have a call over a certain number of minutes or to connect to a number of callers. But it's a bit of a movable feast, this question, because Zoom, as they've become more popular, have sort of lifted a lot of the limits. And therefore, I would just say to you, if you're not aware of the difference, it's nothing to do with quality. It's just to do with how long you can do it for and how many people you can connect to. But you can connect to hundreds of people. So I would say just use the free one until you come across a reason not to. But for most of us, free is fine. It used to be that someone had to be a subscriber somewhere in the group. But, I see people using it even for business uses now without significant restrictions. It does. I'm being a bit cagey because it varies a bit. Sometimes you get a message saying, you need to start the call again because you've hit a time limit, but sometimes you don't. They're kind of, they seem to be experimenting with it. But I would just say use it freely. This is general rule of thumb, use the free.
Try the free version first, of course.
Yeah, because often, you know, it's like YouTube, for example. You know, most of people use YouTube free. And you can pay them over £10 a month for premium, but in order to get the ability to download the videos, which you can do using a third-party app, or have it playing in the background when you're doing something else. I mean, that's not really worth more than £10 a month.
And they keep asking you, don't they, would you like to upgrade? And you keep clicking no, and it's all good.
I'll give you a little tip on that, by the way. I wouldn't suggest this to anybody, but I've seen it done. People who log in who appear to be in other countries whilst logging in can get it for like £1 a month.
Well, I didn't hear you say that.
I didn't propose it. I've just noticed people doing it, and they're very bad people.
They are. We don't talk to them. We love talking to you, though, and we'll do it again next week if we may.
Cheers.
Thank you so much. There he was, Fevzi Turkalp, the Gadget Detective.